Welcome to STEM Spots, a weekly science review produced in cooperation with the Missouri State University Department of Physics, Astronomy, and Materials Science.
Hi, this is Dave Cornelison, and you are listening to STEM Spots. With me in the studio today is Damon Bassett. He's a senior instructor in the Department of Geography, Geology, and Planning here at Missouri State University. Thanks for stopping by, Damon.
Hi, Dave. It's glad to be here.
So, Damon, your area of expertise is paleontology, and I'd like you to talk a little bit about some things you brought to my attention, some new ideas or discoveries in that world right now.
Yeah, recently in the news, my social media has been flooded with discoveries involving DNA from dinosaurs that are coming out of a lab, Mary Schweitzer's lab, particularly in North Carolina State. And they are looking at really well-preserved dinosaur fossils to see if they have things like soft tissues, DNA.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that process because, of course, growing up, I always thought fossils are rock. Fossils are just rock that's replaced tissue. But it's more complicated than that. So talk about sort of the range of fossils that one might find.
Yeah, in my courses, we cover fossilization as a really important introductory topic. A lot of people do think that fossils have to be replaced, but indeed, fossilization can just involve getting old. We have some tree samples that are in the basement of our building that are over 10,000 years old and technically qualify as a fossil, but it's just wood that you could burn in a campfire. There are a number of different ways that you can preserve a fossil. It can be the shells that you see in the rock can actually be the shell that the animal grew. There can be molds, which are the impressions of fossils that we often think of as the typical way to fossilize something. When you have really well-preserved bone that was grown by an animal, then the bone is still altered from that which we would normally think of as living tissue, but it has very little change compared to when you see fossils being replaced by other minerals. Some fossils are preserved that way.
And so you have, in some rare cases, the possibility at least of tissue which can have remnants of DNA in it. What kind of tissue would that be? I think you told me that at one time there was a cartilage experiment done.
Yeah. So the lab produced soft tissues out of the bone. They were looking at things like collagen, which are some of the stretchy connective tissues within the bone that in this case came from a very well-preserved tyrannosaur out of Montana. And they extracted the collagen. They saw things that resembled the molds of red blood cells. They interpreted it as such, at least. And then they later replicated that. Their lab found collagen in another dinosaur fossil that was a member of the duckbill or hadrosaur group. And so they are trying to determine whether or not those soft tissues can contain things like cells and DNA within the cells, ideally.
And so what would be the further development? What would people ultimately want to do with this beyond just understanding it?
I mean, if the DNA is actually coming from the cells that are in the remnants of these animals, then ideally you could get enough segments to sequence them and to have little portions of that dinosaur species DNA known to us. If you could piece enough together, of course, the dream of every paleontologist is to perform some sort of Jurassic Park cloning experiment and get to see a true living dinosaur, non-bird dinosaur, but that's way off in the future.
Now, this is limited in scope in some way, shape, or form. I think there's some skepticism about reproducibility. So how does the general community feel about this work right now?
In general, spectacular discoveries like this meet the normal amount of what we should hope is skepticism from the paleontological community. So these groups that find the DNA then get countered by other groups that question whether or not it could be contamination. The techniques used to generate and collect the DNA are questioned. Any small amount of DNA from something else would show up. So they attempt to do things like stains that mark DNA, and they show up in the cartilage, but they don't show up in the actual fossilized bone or rock matrix, and that makes it somewhat questionable where the DNA is coming from. It's really important not to show that there's DNA in the fossil because microbes could grow in the fossil post-mortem.
Right.
And in this case, we want to show it's coming from the fossil itself.
So presumably there's other groups working on this at the same time?
There are other labs working on it. We have not seen any published papers that show the same sort of recovery. There's a single lab that has the most success, and so that makes it slightly more questionable.
But something to be excited about still.
It's always something to be excited about. We are hopeful optimists.
All the time as a scientist. Damon, thanks so much for stopping by today to talk to us about this.
Thank you.
And once again, this is Dave Cornelison for STEM Spots, signing off.
STEM Spots is available online at ksmu.org.